This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." Hello, everyone. Welcome to Bumper Sticker Wisdom. I'm Jason.
I'm John.
I can't believe some freaking butt munch at freaking Spotify banned our episode for our outro music, which
is the same
used for what, 96 consecutive
all but a few
episodes. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, all but come a few. On.
Yeah, I think we started using that music in episode 10, 11, something
okay.
like that.
Okay.
So we're at 96 today, so 85 consecutive episodes. Yeah. Crazy things is it didn't flag the intro, it flagged the outro, and
it's like, the same music.
It's exactly the same music, so we'll see. However, if you couldn't catch it on Spotify, you can still catch it on all the other platforms. They are playing it on all the other platforms. So,
Brother John's going to say a quick little prayer, and we'll get going.
Yes, sir. Father in heaven, thank you for just putting us here. Father, we ask that anybody who's listening right now, Father, we just want to lift them up. They may be dealing with a financial issue, a health issue, or maybe someone that they love or care about is dealing with an issue, Father, and they're worried about them. Father, we just want to lift them up to you and ask that they just trust in you, knowing that you are capable of accomplishing every single thing that we can think of. Father, you are a God of miracles, and we love you, and we thank you that you are faithful and you are just, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
It's getting hot in here.
Tis not getting hot in here, as a matter of fact, young man. It is not.
Okay, fine. It's hot to me.
It might be hot to you, but it tis not hot in here.
Okay.
I had to look up to see if it was on, because I was like,
It was not blowing a minute ago. It is now.
Yeah, it's on.
I can feel it.
That little blue light. Means go time.
Does that mean
it's actually quiet?
It's very quiet.
If you put it on powerful, you can hear it, but I don't think you can hear it through the mics or the headphones or any of that good jazz. But
only if it's blowing directly at one, you could, because you'll hear that wind coming in. But it's same as whenever we were in the old podcast room.
Yeah,
do you remember those little fans we had?
No, but I remember having to open the curtains every time I had to go pee.
great beginnings.
Nostalgia, man. Yeah. Nostalgia. Yeah. Remember your dad trying to get back in and he's like pokes his head back through?
I remember he came back, he went out and he walked into the closet.
Yeah, like, yeah, what are you doing?
Yeah. Yeah. He'd get lost in his own house. Yeah.
Oh, man, that's funny. But he's coming back and he like spread the curtain open a little bit and he's like looking in like, come on in, bud.
Yes, this is the place. That's hilarious. Oh, man. Well, what's been on your mind, brother?
Not a whole lot. Not a whole lot. No. Had a lot of family stuff going on. I'm not going to air none of that out until find out how everything goes. Respect their privacy. Just, you know, ask for prayers and all that good stuff.
Yeah. So this will be the episode that will come out. I think it comes out the day after Halloween, right? Because Halloween's on a Friday. So this is a Halloween episode. It's kind of why I chose the flesh-eating one in Scripture to start the day. Eat the flesh and drink the blood. Dad and I were talking about this Scripture the other day. And he was just talking about how disturbing it made him feel. And I was like, well, first of all, and he's like, I know, it's not literal. I get it. Crazy thing is, though, if you read that book in John chapter 6, and it gets to the part where I am the bread of life, right? No one, you got to eat my flesh and drink my blood, right? Yeah. In order to, you know, see God or whatever.
But, okay, so they also say that during communion.
Yeah.
This is the blood I partake.
Yep.
And the cracker is the bread of life. It's my body. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I protect, you know what I mean? So, yeah, you understanding what communion is, and your dad clearly understands what communion is.
He does.
Should give him some comfort in knowing that it's not so literal.
So that is an action to be taken as a remembrance of what Christ did.
Yeah.
Right? It's not like a... some sort of miracle ritual.
No.
Right.
But it's also hand in hand with what that.
Yes.
What you were, that verse that you were talking about. That's
and it's why do hand. We do it? Right. Yeah. And it's like to remind us of what Christ did and our relationship with him. And it's really about a full, when he's talking about that, it's really about a full all in type of submission to that relationship and growth in that relationship. Right. And like receiving, you know, what does his blood represent? It represents us being washed white, right? Like in Isaiah, it says, as his blood ran red, our sin was washed white. That's what that represents. And the flesh being his conquering of our flesh and of the flesh. It's not our flesh that we got to overcome. It's his flesh that's already overcome.
Yeah.
Right? So there's a bunch of meat and potatoes to it, right?
Sorry. Go ahead.
What I found interesting, though, is if you keep reading through that, not long after that, it says a bunch of people that were following him stopped following after that because they didn't understand.
Yeah.
They wanted to take it too literally. The people were asking him, like, eat your flesh, drink your blood. What are you talking about, bro? You know what I mean? Like, we just want to be too literal. We want to overcomplicate? Wow. Overcomplicate everything. Wow. That was weird. Complicate. I didn't make that one up.
Dyslexia is kicking in.
Wow, that was weird.
So you know who Ryan Miller is, right? Since this is a Halloween episode, I want to show you something.
Okay.
You know who Ryan Miller is. Go to Ryan Miller's page. He does an episode in his podcast with the guy that founded the South African Church of Satanism right here.
In the middle?
Yep, that's the one. I want you to – this is a – on Ryan Miller's podcast.
Okay.
Halloween is the highest day on the satanic calendar. It is the most probably important day on the satanic calendar.
Pause it for just a second.
It's considered a high.
So this dude used to be huge Satan worshiper and founded a Satanist church in South Africa, like all this crazy stuff, and had a dream or a vision of Jesus and flipped immediately. And now he's a very avid Christian. And so what he does is he's not just like here just talking BS. He's actually speaking from that point of view as informational purposes for like to kind of spread the word about what these certain things mean.
Well, somebody who has actually delved into the darkest side of things, right? Like worshiping like straight up devil worship.
Yeah.
Day. It is also the night of the year where there is the most human sacrifice on the whole planet. So if we look at it in a, let's call it the popular culture aspect first. So many people think Halloween is about candy and it's about dress up, and but they don't question the meaning behind it. So let's say, for instance, in a neighborhood or an area, there's houses, there's homes that celebrate Halloween. where they put up the decorations and they do the pumpkins and they do the candles and the candy, those things, right? And it's fun. Let's say in a neighborhood, there is houses that do that. So that whole perimeter becomes one big satanic ritual for that whole neighborhood.
Wait, wait, wait. So you're telling me, yeah, because tell I've me got them already up. It's September. There's skeletons. There's creepy stuff in our neighborhood already. So you're saying my neighborhood right now is cooked? Like, what are you saying there?
So I'm saying that in a neighborhood or a area perimeter where there is a few homes, that is already a set up as in terms of a hotspot for demonic activity. And anybody, whether they're Christian or non-Christian, that have open doors, that moves or lives in a neighborhood like that, will be affected. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, so what do we do as Christians?
That's my question.
So firstly, we make sure that we are in righteous standing with God, that we do not have any hidden sin or open doors in our life, that we are in a righteous covenant with Him. So if we can get there, that is a very good place to start. And then it is about praying, like being in serious prayer, that people who celebrate Halloween, whether they speak being a Satanist or an atheist or someone having fun, that whilst they're doing that, that they will actually have a true encounter with Christ. The truth about Halloween.
Interesting.
I mean,
it's interesting.
It may be it. I mean, it may just be crap, but he has another one.
He definitely is telling you something. I mean, why would he say that if he didn't have some level of experience with it, right?
So if you go down right here, that's I think the I can't remember what that one is. One of these episodes, though, He's talking to him, and he tells him, he says, I don't know what to do, because ever since I've had the first show with you, I've come under so much spiritual attack. And he was like, you know, I'm sorry if you don't want to do this. You don't have to. And he says, it's probably because of me. And he goes, no, I want to do this. But he's just saying, because of who he is, yeah, he feels like the enemy is trying to reach out to him, mm-hmm, because.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Interesting. It's probably this one, because it's piggybacked off of this episode,
yeah,
or video, and there's only, you know, it's a small number here. This is like a clip of that same thing.
Yeah, yeah, that's probably the good one.
I think the thing is like, so what I hear there is like, I would venture to guess there's not a neighborhood you're going to go to anywhere in your perimeter that doesn't have some of that already.
Yeah.
Every block on my street has some of that already. There's a dude two houses down from me. We've got little stuff up.
Yeah.
We got little, you know, little metal pumpkins and stuff. Like, we don't do the whole carving of pumpkins and all that stuff and all that stuff. And
I used to. I got fired from pumpkin carving.
You got a story behind that?
No. I was about to tell a BS story. Oh. Have you ever seen the pumpkins where it looks like someone's bent over? Like, you take the bottom of the pumpkin, it looks, yes, like a booty hole.
It does. It looks like,
and a then sphincter. You cut out hands, and so it looks like it's holding.
Yeah, you've been fired from pumpkin carving. No, I think that what it is, whether he's right or not, isn't the point. What he is saying that makes a whole lot of sense is you have to be cautious.
Yeah,
and so. He does talk about people blindly doing things and not even really understanding that, yeah, they're doing something that's freaking demonic, or it's inviting a demonic spirit into the
that's
area.
That's my biggest fear.
Do you pray over your home?
No.
You should. And that's just like for the last several years, when I start feeling like things aren't right in my house, I start walking through the house and praying, you know, in every damn room. And like, hey, like, if there's a spirit here that doesn't belong, that is not of Christ, it needs to get out, because in the authority of Jesus' name, you don't belong here. This house belongs to the Lord. You know what, yeah, I'm saying? I've been doing that for probably 8-9 years You know what I'm saying? And you tell me, does it change things or not? I don't know. I feel like it does. It changes the atmosphere.
If there's something in there, of course it does.
I feel like every single time that there's a weight that's been lifted from my shoulders, right? Because I feel like I'm the spiritual head of my household, right? And so I will feel the burden first. I'll feel the spirit. If there's a spiritual problem in my home, I'm going to feel that burden first, right? And when I do, okay, then I need to go and I need to start discarding of anything, not physically, but spiritually, because I have that authority. You have that authority. Yeah. We all do in Christ. We have that authority over them. And so if you feel like there's a possibility that there could be anything.
This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
It would come into your home like that. You should take control of that spiritually, because you have that right and that authority, right? Yeah. And so, again, not to tell you what to do, but like, that's your home. That's where you sleep at night. That's where you should be able to be the most comfortable and at the most rest. And if you're not, there's probably something in there that's jacking with you.
Yeah.
Most likely. Actually, now that I'm thinking about it, I'm probably past due. I need to go do that. I mean, dead serious.
Yeah. No, so, I've never even thought about it. I pray in my home.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. I mean, you know, it's probably the most prevalent place you do pray.
Yeah.
But like actually praying over the space like we do here. You know what I mean? Like, hey, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. This is your space right now. We're committing this time to you. Same idea, but a little more direct, right? Yeah. Hey, whatever doesn't belong in this house needs to get out of my house because you don't belong here. And I mean every single room, not just one general area, the whole place.
Yeah.
Touched walls. And that's what I'm going to do now, again, thinking about all this. Like, again, we do these things out of, it's childish stuff. Right, we don't give out candy. We don't do that.
No,
we did the first year. We moved into only because it was our first year to own a home, and Terry wanted to do it because she'd never done it before, like at her own home. So we did it the first year. We have not since, and we won't this year.
Our old house was like a huge hot spot.
It's a great neighborhood over there.
It was a huge hot spot for trick or treaters. I mean, we'd have them for. I mean, they'd be coming. All hours of the night.
Yeah. I think the
matter. We didn't get one last year out here. Not one.
Yeah, you probably won't see a whole lot. They go into the really busy neighborhoods. But again, I'm not saying there's anything necessarily wrong with partaking in a way, but you got to be careful.
Yeah.
Right? And then careful with how far you allow yourself to go, how far you allow yourself to be led into it. I'm not going to be putting murderous stuff on my yard that looks demonic, and you know
Michael
what I'm saying?
Myers, and
it's not gonna happen. I'm not gonna, well, first of all, my wife would never enter the home if there was any of that around. I mean, period. You know who she is, and she's terrified of that stuff, and there's probably a reason for it. You know what I mean? Besides the fact that it's just creepy, you know what I mean? Maybe in her heart, the way God has created her, she discerns that that's a problem. Like, we don't want any part of that. So I don't know. What you showed and what this guy's talking about is like, again, there's some innocence to it, but it's like we talked about earlier before we started about how, like, how far removed we are from Christ actually being here.
Yeah.
like we kind of just rest back. We don't even know. We're so far removed from all this stuff and where Halloween actually started that we don't even know the truth anymore. It's hidden, buried belief, generations of stuff to where it means nothing now. We don't think it means anything, but it actually, grand scheme of things in the spiritual world, it means a lot.
Yeah, it could mean
a lot.
Ton.
Yeah, it could mean a lot. But from what we understand right here, right now, it doesn't mean anything. It's just a thing we do.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, well, I better not say that because it might piss off people, but it's kind of like Santa Claus and Christmas, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
We're so far removed from the reality and the truth of what it should be and what we should be celebrating that it's become something we don't even understand what it is anymore. It's just something we do.
Have you ever seen when Disney did the deal with the kids and it says, "We love you, Santa," and the kids stood there with the letters in the wrong spots?
No.
Okay, so Santa and Satan have the same letters.
Yes.
And they're standing there, all these kids are standing there with these cards. It says, and it's on Disney. And it's like during a,
like a live show, like a,
yeah.
situation.
And they're all standing there. It says, "We love you, Satan." Dude. I don't know about you, but to me, it felt like deliberate. It felt deliberate.
That's what you call a Freudian slip, right? Freudian slip is like when you say something that you didn't actually mean to say, but you really did.
Yeah. It's like then all of a sudden these kids are like,
fix it. Yeah. Well, I didn't mean to say that. Yeah, you did.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't trust corporations or I'm to the point now. I don't trust anybody that has any influence over children. Because I feel like everywhere you look, they're trying to influence them the wrong ways.
Yeah.
Like, as a little girl, if you, like, okay, say you have a young daughter, monkey's age. You know what I mean? Who do they flash in front of her? All these women celebrities that are half naked, like, teaching become viral and
bad bunny, all this stuff, and that kind
of
stuff.
Yeah, they're not teaching them morals or values or any of that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? So think about it. That's who kids' role models are now.
Yeah,
dude, I don't trust any of that.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know. I can't get too riled up because I'll make myself sound like an ass.
Me too.
I trust gas station sushi more than I trust corporations and influencers and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Soup looks so good. It does. This is the second time I've seen it too. And so I'm still like, oh my gosh. It
does look good.
It's a battleship. What's this?
Where?
There. Read a shirt. It's a battleship. But it ain't a shirt. It's riding in front of a shirt. It is almost like
Bam Margera. I'm sick of this little 2025 cute Christianity. Go big or go home. Oh, John, you should dress nicer on stage. No. Oh, John, you should use some more intellectual academic language. No, go to school if you want that. This is the church. And guess what the church is not? It's not a cruise ship. It's a battleship. You know what I'm saying?
I reposted this.
Make this all pretty proper and cute for us. No, go to Disney for that. Because this is about the truth. The truth that sets men, women, boys, and girls free. The truth that all of y'all who are saved in this place once heard, and it hit your spirit in such a way that you yielded to it, and the grace of God flooded over you, and you were changed in a moment. It's that same truth our flesh is fighting up against as Christians these days. It was good enough to save us, but it's not good enough to keep going. Like, I'm sick of this little...
Oh, it's good enough to save us, but it's not good enough to keep going. Yeah. What? Yeah, you sent... I don't know if you sent it to me, but I saw that you reposted it, and I saved it.
Yeah.
I mean... It's what we're talking about. Like, as men, as followers, like, man, at some point, like, we have to decide whether we're going to stand on truth or not. Are we going to do this or not? Like, are we going to stay as we've always been, or are we going to actually change? Yeah. And the only thing that's going to save people going forward, that's going to keep our children, our grandchildren, from going down the road that this world wants to take them down, because remember, this world is the enemy's, right?
Yeah.
The only thing that's going to keep them from that is leadership.
Yeah.
in the home, in the family, right?
Yeah.
And so they have, we have to teach them, no, you don't do that. Yeah. It's not funny. I don't care what you think. I don't care if you find it funny. It's not funny.
Yeah.
It's not cute. It's gross.
Yeah.
It's exploitative, right? And if you find yourself on the bad end of what that leads to, you're going to be unhappy about it. That's not necessarily, I don't know. I don't even know what I had in my mind today anyway. Not necessarily what I thought we were going to end up on, but, you know.
Oh, you said Halloween episode, and I was like, hey, let's run with this.
Let's go to Halloween. It really, to me, what it does.
It's every holiday, though.
Yeah, it's not a
Easter. Yep. Easter, people totally blow that out of proportion, what that's for.
Yep. It's not.
They call them pagan holidays. Ain't that what they call all that stuff?
Remember that. Oh, I don't remember the scripture real well, so I'm not going to be able to verse it. But he basically said something about the traditions and the holidays and stuff like that. And he's like, you know, talking about Jewish traditions and holidays and stuff like that. And like, I don't remember the scripture, but like, quit holding so tightly and dearly to those things. What has happened, and what you're talking about, what I'm talking about, especially with the holidays. And look, it's, we're on the doorstep, right? And I don't want to sound like a jerk or anything like that. I actually like the holidays and things like that. I do. I like giving gifts for my family and to people I care about and stuff like that. I like doing that. But there's a lot more to it than that. And the reason that we do those things has zero to do with giving gifts. And what we have done as culture, as society, we're just as bad as everybody else, is we've made it a way for people to get rich.
Yeah.
I mean, it truly is. That's what we've done. We are consumers, and that's all we do is consume.
Yeah.
And so our kids are consumers, and this has been going on for generations, bro. We're the least of the problem. We're not the beginning. We're towards the end of the problem, to be honest with you. And it's gotten worse and worse and worse as the generations have gone on. It seemed more pure when we were kids, right? And I'm sure that even...
Oh, dude, yeah.
Yeah, and then I'm sure the generations before that, it seemed even more pure. And as we've gone... This is why every single older generation... My dad, if you grabbed my dad right now and talked to him about the difference about today and in his day, right? He's like, I live in a different world.
Yeah.
This is not the world I grew up in.
This isn't the world we grew up in.
It's not. And it's changing. I remember
the first
so
time I
fast.
Heard about a kidnapping.
It's going so much faster now, too.
Oh, dude.
It's so much faster now. It is.
Where did the year go? It's like, already almost the end of October.
It seemed like, it really did seem like, you know, just a couple of weeks ago, we were like, man, we just finished our first year. Dude, in this podcast. And
what really brought it to my attention is because me and her were talking about, hey, it was our 1 year anniversary in our house. And I sat there for a minute. I was like, what?
Y'all are at 1 year now?
Yes. It was October. It was October 9th.
Holy crap.
We closed on our house October 9th.
It was.
Yeah. Or maybe we might have closed on Victoria's birthday. On the 10th. It was either on the 9th or the 10th. Yeah, we moved in on like the 11th.
Wow. That's crazy, man. That's crazy.
Yeah. It's already been a year.
And we came into this studio like in February.
Yeah.
Right? Because I remember you had your back surgery in December.
Yep.
We had recorded an episode at the kitchen table with the boys from the Bible study.
Yep.
And then the next time we recorded out here was in here.
Yeah.
Like in February, I think it was. So, yeah. Dude, that just doesn't seem that long ago. It seemed like it just happened.
Yesterday.
Sheen, yeah.
I remember sitting at that table. I remember actually sitting in my recliner and looking over, and you were sitting next to me, and I looked at you this way.
Yeah.
And your eyes were closed, and like I like scared myself, so I like kind of jumped, and I remember the pain from that because I was fresh out of back surgery.
Yeah, yeah.
And I kind of jerk, and I like woke myself up, and then I look over, and your eyes were closed, so I was like, oh, yeah, go back to sleep.
Yeah, we're sitting there watching something.
We're watching some movies. I don't remember. We're just sitting there chilling in the chair. Yeah.
It's a comfortable chair, by the way.
Dude, I fell asleep in it Saturday. Dude, for like, I don't know, 30 minutes maybe.
Yeah.
And I slept so hard for that 30 minutes that when I woke up, you know, like when you take a nap, like I'm horrible nap guy because it's like I start my day all over. Like I go back to that bitchy stage.
Yeah, when you first get up out of bed.
Yeah. So I go back to that bitchy stage. But I slept so hard for such a short amount of time. I like woke up and I was like I was all giddy and I was like, oh, so that's a power nap. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, you regenerated your power. That's what I'm talking about. Heck,
oh,
yeah.
Man.
But yeah, so what has happened, just like everything else, and not just holidays, man, we've just bastardized everything, man. We've taken it from the innocence of what it was and changed it into something that has a motive. Right? Yeah. Everything has to have a motive behind it. Everything. It sucks. Yeah. It sucks. I don't like it.
It does suck.
But I feel like when we can find anything that's pure, we need to latch onto it. Right? So those relationships, right? Like we've talked about, we talked earlier a little bit about like how I'm still like all the tainted relationships have messed up my current relationship still. It makes me not be the way I should be. I should have more confidence, right? Like, yeah. And things like that. But I'm so tainted from past history that I haven't figured out how to latch on to the pureness of that, right? And we really need to, because that's where the hope is found. The hope is found in something pure.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of pure left in our world, man.
Man, I think there is. I think there's more than we realize. The problem is we don't know how to see it anymore. Mm. Like when, you can't see if the forest through the trees.
Yep.
Yeah, it's kind of that kind of thing. Well, we can't see the purity because we're focused on all the crap because that's all what's in our face. The purity is something that you got to find.
Right.
I think there's more out there than we realize. Right. Because, dude, man, I'll tell you what. Like, this is how I know that there's still hope. It's because sometimes I have a conversation with a certain young lady, and her, like, just she is the most pure at heart. She's the sweetest, and it's she's hi, and that's when I look at it and I'm like, man, there's hope.
There's still hope for us.
There's hope, yet.
Yeah.
What did I do?
I don't know. What'd you do? I can hear everything just fine.
I turned myself down. I hit my chair.
Every episode since we started.
Well, I got it in the wrong spot, dude. I can't put it in my back pocket because then I rub it up and down on the thing and it turns it down. I can't put it on my side pocket because it hits the freaking armrest.
There ain't nowhere to put it.
Put it right here. Ow, dang. And I'm sitting on the cord. Okay. Then I'm going to get up and walk off with it here. Just leave it.
It's funny.
I have those interactions, and it's my stepdaughter.
Yeah.
I have those interactions with her, and she's always so hi, happy, and it's like she still I can see how she sees the world. Like she doesn't you kind of have to be like, okay, look, Victoria, the world's not full of rainbows and lollipops. You know what I mean?
But you don't want to taint that.
But you don't want to be the one to like.
Yeah.
Take away the
innocence.
Yeah. I mean,
there's an innocence of it.
It's still there. Leave it alone. You know what I mean? Yeah. But at the same time, you also want to be like, hey, look, you got to be safe.
That's the thing about parenting, right? Like.
Parent with caution.
Yeah. Parent with caution. Because you don't want to steal that from them. You want them to have that, gosh, as long as possible. And hopefully forever. But at the problem is okay, so for us, we come from the 9/11 era, right? Like we were young adults when 9/11 happened, And so when that happened, all the people that had young children at the time, like very much wanted to suck their children in and like not teach them about the world outside and all that kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like we became very, very even more protective than we had already been. Because the people that raised us didn't even know where we were half the time.
No. I mean, and but here the crazy thing about that is I can remember when we lived in San Jacinto, I just started fifth or sixth grade, I think. I just started at Sam Houston Middle School, so sixth grade.
And we went to Sam Houston together then.
Yeah. So I
went
just,
there in sixth grade.
I just started Sam Houston at sixth grade. I didn't finish my sixth grade year at Sam Houston. I got moved to Travis. But at that time, I can still, like, I would ride my bike to school sometimes, most times. And then riding it on my way back home, my aunt lived right there on Sunset Lane in a beautiful house. Like, so you go across Sam Houston Park, and those houses right there, big, two-story. It looked like the house on Home Alone.
On the opposite side of Sam Houston Park.
Yeah.
Yeah, on the south side of Sam Houston Park.
Yes, yep. And it looked like the house off Home Alone.
I know, I mean, this house is
freaking beautiful.
Yeah.
And so I would ride by there to see if they were home, you know, and then I'd ride down that because that turns into Plains. You know what I mean? And I'd ride down that. And I lived on the corner of 3rd in Louisiana.
Okay.
And sometimes my bike ride home would take so long when I would get home, like my mom and my stepdad would already be home. And it's like 6 o'clock. You know what I mean? And there was never a, where have you been?
Yeah.
I'd walk in. I'd take my backpack off. I'd eat dinner, I'd do my homework, and then as soon as I got done, I would be right back out the door. As long as when she turned the porch light on or whistled, I was in hearing distance and could be home, because that's what she'd do. She did that thing, and boy, you had about 30 seconds. But you get home, I mean, I was never inside. My mom never really knew what I was doing or where I was at.
Right.
She just knew that she could whistle and I'd be.
What was that? 9/11, 2001?
2001, September 11th, 2001.
Okay. So my youngest wasn't born. My middle son was born 2 months before, because he's born in August. Oh, a month before. So he's a month old. And my oldest was almost two. You know what I'm saying? Like, they were babies.
Do you remember where you were at?
100%. I do. I remember what we were doing when I heard it.
It was early in the morning, too.
Yeah. I remember. So, if you want to know, if you want to hear, we were, gosh, man, I don't remember what I was doing as a job at the time, but I was also starting to go to school. And we were going to go to apply for HUD housing, right? And so we were on our way to our HUD appointment when I'm hearing this stuff on the radio, and it was Rock 108 at the time.
Yeah.
Right.
It's still Rock 108.
Is it? I haven't listened to the regular radio in so long.
It's still Rock 108.
So I was listening to that station, and I've never really been a news pay attention to person. I never really have. So, but I kind of heard something, and I was like, what are they talking about? And I turn it up. And at this point, it's when the plane hit the Pentagon.
Oh, so you didn't. I watched the footage, like, okay. live and in the flesh. Me and my boss are standing there, and he's like, oh, Jason, get in here. I was early to work, and he's like, a plane just hit the World Trade Center. And I'm thinking a passenger, not like a big commercial airline plane. I'm thinking like a little Mooney.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, oh, and I'm like, oh, you see all this stuff, and I'm like, oh, crap. And me and him are sitting there talking, and like about that time, it's like, bam. Poof. And I was like, what the? And then they started going, like, it started going crazy. Like, they started talking about this has got to be some sort of terror attack and blah, blah, blah. And
when we were on our way back, we lived in Canyon at the time. So when we were on our way back to Canyon, on the radio, the towers were still standing at this point. Like when we finally got to the home, then we turned on the TV, and like I honestly, my first interaction was like, this is it. This is when it's coming.
Yeah.
Like that, everybody's going to die. This is where the whole World War III breaks out. Everything's going to come to an end. Christ is coming back. Everything. And my limited understanding of Christ at the time, like, this is the day. This is the world's coming to an end.
I was like, okay, it's imminent doom. Like,
me too.
Russia or China or whoever this is about to come invade us, and we're about to be wiped off the map. That's all I could think. And then they started talking, you know, they started talking about the Al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden. And
it's the first time I really remember.
Never even heard of that dude before.
Osama bin Laden?
Yeah.
No, me either.
Never heard of him before. Mm. And apparently he was like a polarizing figure for many decades.
Apparently. The first time I'd heard of an actual terrorist attack was a domestic terror, was Timothy McVeigh in Oklahoma City. That was our own people on our own soil. Oof, you know
that
what
was
I mean?
A bad one.
Yeah.
That was a bad, bad one.
Yeah, two car bombs, wasn't it?
It was a truck full of diesel and fertilizer, like a Ryder truck, and big
turned
truck.
Turned it into a big bomb.
Yeah, it turned, yeah.
Yeah. Children were killed and all that stuff. But I remember watching the first tower
did
fall.
Did he get sentenced to death yet?
I don't know.
Because I know he was in like that like Supermax. Like, you know, there's like where they had Charles Manson and all that's in Colorado somewhere. Mm. It's like
where they never sent it. They didn't sentence him to death from the start.
He was put on death row, but I know he was held at that prison. For a while.
Oh, has he been put to death?
Yeah, has he?
Oh, I don't know about that. That's a good question.
There another one too, like Terry Nichols or something like that?
Who was that one? See, I remember the name. What the heck was it?
Yeah, wasn't he?
Okay, here, let's look.
Dude.
How did we get up on this? I know how we got on this. It was about talking about taking care of our children.
Terry Nichols, there you go. Weapon of mass destruction, 8 counts. Okay, so he was one of the...
Oh, he was with him.
Yeah.
Timothy McVeigh.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Okay, so he received a sentence of life imprisonment without the possibility of parole. Maybe he's the one that's in that
Supermax.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay.
But dude, look and see if Timothy McVeigh is, if he's still kicking, or did they jab him with the freaking?
He died in 2001.
Oh yeah, so they gave it to him.
Somebody got him.
Yeah, they gave it to him.
God, he was young. He looks like a baby.
Dude,
he looks like a baby.
Look at that artist rendition of him. Like,
I don't want to say what
who
I
was
see.
This guy. He looks like this nutsack on his lips, dude. Right there.
Oh my goodness! Yeah, I see it too. So, oh my God, he shares my birthday, April 23rd.
Oh yeah, 1968, Lockport, New York.
But and this happened in what 95?
Yeah.
So he was 27 years old. He was 27 years old when he did this. Yeah, and that was in 95, so that's 6 years before the September 11th thing happened. And then he died.
Well, remember, so the one of the World Trade Center buildings, they tried to set off a car bomb in the parking garage, and it was like it went off, but it was like not what they thought. Yeah, it's basically like dropping a black cat when you need to drop a stick of dynamite. It's like,
pa-ting-you. Yeah, they didn't do what they thought.
Yeah.
Some crazy stuff, man, but. Anyway, September 11th was when we all kind of, as this generation, like we all latched on and we stopped wanting to teach our children about the outside world and stopped trusting them to go out there and see that danger just is a part of things, right? And how to be cautious. So like what you're talking about with that innocence, right, with our niece and, or my niece, I'm sorry, your stepdaughter, our niece, and like not wanting to take that from her, right? Like, fortunately enough, she's been guarded from how dangerous the world can be.
I can't, like, I talk about her like she's 12. She's 23.
No, she's 23. Yeah. She's grown.
Old, yeah, she's, but she still has that, like, that natural, pure kid at heart. That's the.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's just what God blessed her with. Because surely she has experienced some things.
I don't even know where this kid came from. Like, how? I mean, I love my wife, and my wife is the most awesome person in the world, but I've seen both her parents. You know what I mean?
So have I.
And so I'm just sitting here thinking, like,
good question.
How?
That's a good question. That's a good question.
And I've seen her brother. Her brother's just like both of the parents. You know what I mean?
It's a good question. it's been a wild one already. I don't know. I would just tell you that, like, you know, the whole grand scheme of it is, like, really what we've been talking about is just be cautious. You know what I mean? Be careful what we allow spiritually, physically, into our homes, around our homes. Like, I can't control my neighbors, right? And I'm not going to go over there and tell them, hey, man, take that crap down. I'm not going to do that. Yeah. You know what I mean? To each their own. You can do what you want to do. You're grown people who, you know, get to do what you want. That's your right, right? I'm not going to do that. But it's weird how this guy's like, okay, well, now that that's happened, now you're on a breeding ground already. So, you know. And he's like, if you've got any sins that you haven't confessed of or aren't made right with, then you need to get that. If that's an open door for this demonic stuff to come through. And I'm like, that's a lot. He's making a big, big, big accusation at that point. And
yeah.
Like, man, the problem I have, here's my problem with that. There are any number of things that are sinful that I don't even realize are sinful that I'm doing. So how am I supposed to be always right? You know how? There's only one way.
Well, yeah, you just got to, you got to, okay, first and foremost, you got to fully believe that Jesus is who he says he is, and you are saved by his grace and his blood, and yep. Yeah,
I mean, that's You are the righteousness of God, which means you're right you with have God.
Everlasting and Christ. Eternal life. It, you believe Christ. Wholeheartedly that he is who he says he is, and he died for your sins and rose again.
That's it. I believe with everything in my fiber, every fiber of my being, that God, Christ, with Christ, was exactly who he said he was.
I know he did that. I know he did.
I know
The problem I have is, how am I worth that? That's the problem. And that's not like I just sit around like, oh, man. Oh my, well, why would you do that? That's not what I'm saying. I look at how humankind is. And so you have the, you know, when it talks about God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him will have eternal and abundant life, or abundant and eternal life, however exactly verbatim that goes. When you sit and you look at that, that is when it brings it to your attention. Because, like, dude, I sit back and I'm like, dude, the world is full of so many freaking screwed up people. The key to all this is knowing that there's going to be more people that go to hell than don't go to hell. And there's going to be a lot of people that know about heaven and don't make it to heaven. A ton of people.
Yeah.
So the scary part of that, and what I'm getting at, is why would he sacrifice himself, knowing that we're all this big lost cause? It's because God so loved the world and all of us in it.
Because he chose that from the beginning.
Yeah. So
you, me, everybody that's attached to us, and everybody in all of history is the greatest creation that he ever created.
He knows that you got 9,472 gray hairs in your beard. He knows that. I don't know if that's exactly, but he knows that.
Right. That's a good count. Anyway, but yeah, he knew me from birth. Ooh, I went through this the other day. I got a little emotional thinking about it. We may have talked about this before, but I was listening to somebody talk, and they were talking about, you know, our sinful stuff and, like, our pasts and all this stuff. And he was like, look, at the end of the day, God still calls you by name.
Not by sin.
Exactly. He doesn't call you the masturbator, the fornicator, you know what I mean? He calls you Jonathan. Ooh,
man.
Ooh. Sorry.
Can you imagine him calling you by your sin?
Can you by your sin?
Can, wow. can you imagine being called the masturbator in public?
No.
Are you a fisherman? Yeah. Do you bait your own hook? Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you a masturbator?
Yeah. I mean, okay, you could take, you know, anything. You could think of anything. Or do you swear? Do you love? Like you're supposed to love? Do you lust? Yeah. Do you
fib?
Yeah.
Do you gossip?
Are you a liar?
Do you gossip?
Or gossip?
Oh, God.
Chingao. But I started thinking about that. And like, look, man, it started making me think about how important names are, right? If God calls you by name, then that means your name has a point, right? And God knew what you would be named. Sometimes God changes your name, right? Like Jesus did a couple of times.
Yeah. Simon, Peter.
Simon to Peter, Saul to Paul.
Yeah.
Jacob to Israel. That's Old Testament, right? So Israel, the people of Israel.
What happened?
See, what had happened was, I don't know. We'll have to go find it. I don't know.
No, you're like,
oh, potential spam.
Oh.
I got a call. My bad.
I was like, what happened? What happened? Like, please tell me we didn't lose video feed right there.
No. Sorry. There was something across the top of the screen. I didn't want it there, but now I wish I knew what the story was. But
sorry.
Anyway, Jacob to Israel, right? Jacob to Israel. That's Old Testament. We think of the ones from the New Testament. He's been doing it for a long time, like changing people's names to mean what he means for them to be, right? Well, so if I'm going to believe God is who he says he is, if I'm going to believe that God knows every single hair on my face and the number that are gray and the number that are black and the number that are half and half and all that kind of stuff, then I have to believe that he knew exactly what my name would be and what it meant.
Yeah.
And when I started thinking about it, it really struck me, because my name means sent by God. And the only reason...
It makes sense. John the Baptist, I mean, he was sent by God to pave the way for Jesus.
Pave the way for Jesus, exactly. But the reason that it struck me... Striked me.
The reason that it struck it did.
I'm on a roll today. The reason it struck me is most people talk about this, like, because I'm a Christian or I'm a follower of Christ, that I was raised that way. I was not. I was raised by two people who didn't really believe in God. One was pure-ass atheist, and the other was about as cold can be.
Yeah.
And.
What do you, sorry, finish your story, because I have a question on this.
Go ahead.
What do you think lukewarm looks like?
My mom. That's not even lukewarm, though. It's cold.
Well, I mean, because, you know, it talks about, because you are lukewarm, I would rather spit you from my mouth.
I think that.
That was wrong time for that question.
Have a video, I think, that can help explain it, because he did better, way better than I would be able to do. There's a reason that he used the word lukewarm, and he's not talking about, actually talking about half in, half out Christians. Yeah. He's talking about a literal situation about a city that is in between two places where the fresh water comes from, one where it's fresh and cold and one where it's hot, and in the middle it's lukewarm. There's a reason that he uses the word lukewarm. That's a separate situation or a separate conversation. But the reason that all of this stands out to me is maybe because I've told you stories about when I was 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years old. My mom, who is not a Christian, who is not a believer, who's married to a man, is an atheist to atheist, coming to me and asking me to pray. You know what I'm saying? And then I think about the weight of the fact that God calls me by name. And my name, he didn't name me, as far as I know. Like, he didn't reach down, he didn't call down to me and be like, you're John.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The name was given to me by my parents. And so it just, the whole thing unraveling inside my mind made me like, do you realize the brevity of that? Like the weight to that, the fact that there's no accident there.
Yeah.
There's no accidents here. There's no accidents, man. This is not by accident. It's not. You're who you're meant to be. I'm who I'm meant to be. I'm not where I'm supposed to be yet, but I am who I'm supposed to be. And the fact that God has captured my heart and I'm pushing myself forward towards that every single day is what saves me.
Yeah.
It's not the fact that I got it right. I'm right with God through Jesus. Jesus did it, not me.
Yeah. That's the buffer.
Thank God.
Yeah. We can't do it.
I can't.
If according to the law or what they consider the law.
I've been convicted and tried and gone sent to death many, many, many times at this point, if it was up to me. If I can find that video, we'll play it real fast. I don't know that I can. Doesn't look like I saved it. I think I cleared it. Remember, I cleared all this stuff out a while back. It looks like I actually got rid of it. We were talking about lukewarm. Mm-hmm. I'll just look it up real fast. If it happens to be
lukewarm Christian,
if it happens to pop up, I'll know what it looks like. It's this guy right here.
Have you ever read the verse where Jesus says, "Because you are lukewarm, I will spit you out of my mouth," and think, that's me. I'm not on fire for God right now. I've been struggling with sin. Maybe I'm the kind of Christian God's going to reject. That fear has haunted so many believers, me being one of them in the past. So if you've ever wondered that, I want you to stick with me, because this passage doesn't mean what you've been told. So here's the common misunderstanding of that passage. Most people think lukewarm means some kind of half-hearted faith. You're just kind of like coasting. Pastors, and it infuriates me, will use this passage like a whip. They'll say things like, you know, you can't be lukewarm. Don't be lukewarm. You need to get fired up for God, or he's going to spit you out. No wonder people read this and panic. You know, if I'm not on a spiritual high 24/7, am I even saved? Am I lukewarm? But that's not what Jesus was saying. Not at all. All right, so here's the context of this passage. Jesus is speaking to the church in Laodicea. And here's what you need to know. Laodicea didn't have its own water source. So water was piped in from two nearby cities. So you have Hierapolis, known for its hot springs, hot water that healed. And then you have Colossae, known for its cold, refreshing streams, cold water that revived. By the time the water got to Laodicea, it was lukewarm, nauseating, not useful for healing, not refreshing to drink. So when Jesus says, "You are neither hot nor cold," he's not talking about spiritual passion levels. He's saying you're not bringing healing like hot water or refreshment like cold water. You've become useless.
It's another 2.5 minutes long, so I don't want to drag that out, but that's a very interesting thought. And like, he's bringing a little more context, right? That we wouldn't have, again, being so far removed from what's happening. Like, you're not bringing healing or you're not refreshing people. That's what's lukewarm. It's not being half in, half out. That's what we think. That's like, when I first read that scripture, a pastor doesn't have to tell me that. That's going to be my first response. A lukewarm Christian.
Yeah.
But that's the thing about the Bible and the thing about some of these conversations is context means a lot, right? And so that's why there's people out there that have studied and been taught things far beyond what you and I are, right? And that's why we need people that actually spend their whole lives studying and learning so that we can have people that will teach us what is true and what is not.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of encouragement there with what he's talking about.
Did you hear about the guy that invented lifesavers?
Invented lifesavers? No.
I hear he made a mint.
Your delivery was great on that. It took me a second. I was like, yeah, got it. That was a good one. You did good. Delivery means a lot, man. There is a such thing as comedic timing. Paulo Coelho.
We've used this guy before.
We have.
Well, you. I haven't, but you do. Because I always remember the Paulo.
Paulo Coelho. If you want to be successful, you must respect one rule. Never lie to yourself.
Oof.
It just encompasses a lot of what we talked about today, so I thought it was perfect for it.
Wow.
I just stabbed myself with a pencil. On accident.
Whoa. The table started shaking. I see you go.
I mean, it got me good.
Thank you guys for tuning in with us one more time. Continue to do so, please. Check out our website, bumper-sticker-wisdom.com.
Yes, sir.
It's got everywhere. You can get to all of our stuff with it.
One click.
That's it, baby.
We all like convenience.
Yes. For Bumper Sticker Wisdom, I'm Jason.
And I'm John.